readings today, of course, are all about the power of the Word. In this case, the Word is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, and the Word made flesh in the splendor of the Father. So today we celebrate Christ, who came to sow the seed of the Word of God, both in our hearts and in the world at large. And through this celebration, the Church enjoins us to reevaluate our relationships with the Word of God. And we must also then reevaluate the fertility of our souls and how much fruit we allow this Word to sink into us and to grow and to bear fruit in our lives. So in the very first reading today, Isaiah compares the Word of God to rain and snow that falls on the ground. And he says this, he says, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, so the word that goes out from my mouth does not return empty without carrying out my will and succeeding." Now this is a statement as fact, as well as a statement of assurance to those who believe, who accept it with faith, and live it out in their lives. The word will accomplish what it set out to do. And in fact, this is a sign that the seed, the word, that God sends forth into our hearts and the world is viable and it's not sterile. His word, the seed, is a statement of yes and a statement of amen. Amen meaning I believe. We say I believe when we receive communion. Amen, Father, means I believe. This is a statement of my faith that truly this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus that we're receiving. And it's not only for those who influence them positively. It has full potency and must give life to anyone that proves a conducive environment for it to germinate, to grow, and to bear fruit abundantly. The word will achieve what it set out to do. However, it can also bring condemnation on those who toil with it and refuse to believe in it. We hear in John 5:24 this statement, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And then on the other hand, on John 3:18, we hear this, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is because it will testify against us on the day of reckoning." So in either case, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it will not return to God empty-handed, either void or empty. It is neither will we allow to be present before the throne of God as worthy children or in the throne of God, on the contrary, as a culprit and unrepentant souls only fit for condemnation. It can never return void because it will neither acquit or it will convict. And that's why the Word of God is a two-edged sword that we hear all the time. God's Word, therefore, has a valuable purpose which must be accomplished. Now, in the second reading for today, Paul tells us that we're vessels, however, filled with the Word of God, and as such, we're expected to yield good fruit because we are to bring forth or to bear or to reveal, however you want to state that, the good works that are within us that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to explain how the entire creation groaned in one great act of giving birth. What are we giving birth to? It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which bear in us by reason of the Word of God, which is a viable seed, a seed that always produces abundant fruit. So the power of God's Word then is obviously then the central theme of today's gospel as well. And I think that passage is probably one of the most frequently proclaimed and one of the best known, the parable of the sower and the seed. Most of us are aware of that. This parable, his emphasis is on Jesus, the sower of the seed, which is the living word of God, as we have already mentioned. You know, there are four different types of soul that we hear presented in the gospel message, and they represent different conditions of the souls of different individuals who receive the word in different manners. Recall, there's four types of soul. Each of us has souls that most likely fit into one of these categories or maybe a middle of them. The soil on the good seed, that's the good word of God, falls in the whole world, and it represents each individual person, as I said. Now, even though the sowing is carried out with great love, it is God who is the sower and pours himself into our souls. So the results depend largely on the condition of the soil on which the word falls. Christ's word tells us forcefully about the responsibility man has to prepare himself to receive God's words and then to correspond to it. You recall it says, "Some seed fell on the path and the birds came and devoured them." Those are people who, like the path, are negligent, lukewarm, and perhaps full of scorn. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. They didn't have much soil and they immediately sprang up. They had no depth of the soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. That soil probably represents souls who have little inner depth, are inconsistent and incapable of persevering in the word. They can't sacrifice themselves in order to fulfill the resolutions that they've had, or their resolutions die, therefore, without bearing fruit. And then other seeds fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. I think that's one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches stifles it. It proves unfruitful. Love of riches, a disordered ambition to gain influence and power, an excessive concern for well-being and comfortable life just sort of stuff it out. Now, as for what falls on the good soil, here we have persons who hear the word and they understand it. And they indeed bear fruit, and one yields 100-fold in one case, 60-fold in another, and 30-fold in another case. God hopes that his good soil will receive his grace and bear much fruit. And the greater our generosity towards God, the better and more abundant that fruit will be. So it depends then, although we're bearing good fruit, how much we yield, how much we receive God's word, how much we accept it, how much we put it into our world and our life. All people now, wherever their lives have been in the past, are able to become soil that is prepared to receive God's grace. I want you to know that. God pours himself on our souls in accordance with the degree of welcome that he finds there. And God gives us so many graces because he trusts each one of us. There is no soil that is too impervious or too uncultivated for him, so long as it's prepared to change and to respond to him. Any soil can become rich pasture land, although it had previously been nothing but desert, because God's grace never fails us, and his care is greater than that of the most expert husbandman. One grace has been given. The results depend only on man, who is free to correspond or not. St. Chrysostom tells us this. He says, "The ground is good, the sower is the same, and the seeds are the same in each case. Nevertheless, how is it that one gives 100-fold, another 60-fold, and another 30-fold? We can see that the difference depends on the person receiving it. For even when the soil is good, there is a great deal of difference between one patch of ground and another patch of ground. You can see that neither the farmer nor the seed is at fault, but the soil on which the sowing was done. And this is not the result of nature, but the disposition of one's will." So my brothers and sisters, let us consider in our prayer today whether we are corresponding to the graces that God gives us. Whether we take time, for example, to examine our consciences in those areas that are harmful roots in our souls that prevent the good growth of good seed. Do we get rid of noxious weeds through frequent confession? Do we try to increase the number of acts of contrition that prepare our souls so well as to receive God's inspiration? We can neither be content with what we are doing to serve our God. You know, just as an artist is never satisfied with a painting or with a statue that he's working on, everyone says to him, you know, marvelous, it's great. He thinks it's just absolutely beautiful. But the artist himself, he looks at that and he says, no, it's not quite right. I want it to be better. And that's how we should feel with the seed that God gives us in our hearts. It's not quite right. It's bearing fruit, good deal, but it could be better. Moreover, God has given us so much. He's a right to the very best from us, as a matter of fact. And we must go then at his pace. Don't let us fall behind. Let us ask God this day for the grace to be very fruitful souls.